Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, you're about to get smarter in just a few minutes with Curiosity Daily from Discovery. Time flies when you're learning super cool stuff. I'm Nate.
And I'm Callie. If you're dropping in for the first time, welcome to Curiosity, where we aim to blow your mind by helping you to grow your mind. If you're a loyal listener, welcome back.
Today, you'll learn about a potential breakthrough in the treatment of ovarian cancer, how just passively listening can help you learn things much more quickly, and the ant that changed the lion's cuisine.
Without further ado, let's satisfy some curiosity.
Ovarian cancer is one of the leading causes of cancer deaths in women. Part of the reason for that is that early detection can be difficult, and when it's detected in later stages, there's only about a 20 to 30% survival rate. And treatments haven't improved much in the past couple decades, but a new study might change that dramatically.
That's amazing. I know with advances in AI and tech and drug development, cancer has been in scientists' crosshairs for the past several years.
Absolutely. And this new treatment could honestly be revolutionary, and it all goes back to mRNA.
Okay, mRNA is the underlying science behind most of the COVID vaccines, right?
That's right. It might feel like it's suddenly sprung onto the scene, but in fact, research into mRNA goes back to the 60s. So to understand this new ovarian cancer treatment, you have to understand mRNA. The M stands for messenger. So think about our cells as these tiny factories. In the middle of the factory is a filing cabinet full of the master blueprints.
And I'm guessing that's DNA?
Exactly. So those blueprints need to get out onto the factory floor so that all the machines can build all of the stuff they need to build. In this case, they are building proteins. But DNA, the master blueprints, they have to stay put inside the office.
So they print off their instructions onto the mRNA. Is that right?
Yeah. The mRNA takes those instructions to the protein factory where all of the cell's machinery pumps out proteins. But what happens if the blueprints, the DNA, develop an error?
Then, okay, the error gets copied onto the mRNA and the instructions aren't right.
That is right. So in the case of ovarian cancer, they found a mutation in a protein called P53, which it just so happens is a protein that suppresses tumor growth. It's crucial for DNA damage repair, and it prevents abnormal cell proliferation. Without function P53, there's nothing to stop cells from growing out of control.
If the DNA isn't giving the mRNA the right instructions to produce a cancer-stopping protein, then it just doesn't get produced.
Right. So in this study, scientists created a new set of instructions in the lab. They encoded synthetic mRNA with everything it needs to produce healthy P53 proteins.
Got it. So instead of changing up the DNA, they just presented the cells with their own set of instructions.
And here's the thing. It worked dramatically. Now, the test has only been done in mice so far, but mice with human ovarian tumor cells. When the new mRNA was introduced, the cancer was basically eradicated, and not just in their ovaries. In some of the mice, the cancer had metastasized into other organs, and all of that cancer was killed as well.
Holy cow. Okay, as I understand it, the lethality of cancer is like this skyrockets when it metastasizes.
Absolutely. They want to begin human trials as soon as possible. But the big leap here is the fact that this approach represents an altogether different way to treat cancer. They aren't aiming drugs at the cancer cells in order to kill them. They're simply repairing our body's natural mechanisms so that they can do the work they were already meant to do.
So I'm guessing this isn't the last story we will hear about mRNA treatments.
Ooh, if I were a gambling man, I would bet this is just the beginning.
There's a fairly common story. It starts out in school. A student takes Spanish from the time they're in grade school all the way through high school. They know grammar, they have a decent vocabulary, they ace their written exams. For all intents and purposes, they know Spanish. But then they travel to Mexico for a few short weeks.
Oh, let me guess, they just come back practically fluent. I swear a friend of mine learned more in his few weeks abroad than he did in like 5 years of classes.
Yeah, no, I know. I kind of did the same thing in France. So part of that clearly is just being immersed in the language. If you have no other option but to speak it, then your brain starts making those connections more quickly. But a new study is suggesting that something else is going on too, and it's called passive learning.
Passive as opposed to active?
Exactly. So a team of researchers at the University of Oregon found that by simply being in the same room while the subject you're learning is being discussed, you can pick up that subject more quickly.
So to go back to the example, if you're trying to learn Spanish, it might help if you just turn on a Spanish soap opera while you're cleaning the house, just to have the language wafting around you?
That's kind of the idea, yeah. So much of our education is focused on this idea of active learning. And that's basically going to class, jamming in all the concepts and details and facts and figures, and taking tests to assess your skill and knowledge, right? So the researchers, led by neuroscientists James Murray and Santiago Jaramillo, wanted to know if just being around while the subject was in the air had any effect on our ability to learn. So they gathered a bunch of mice.
What? I know we use mice for a lot of tests, but you cannot tell me the mice are learning Spanish.
Okay, I was confused by this too. But the fact is, it's way easier to study the minds of mice than it is to break down the incredibly complex behaviors of humans and the complicated nature of our minds.
Okay, that's a good point. Plus, you can start with mice and then try to replicate the study in humans later.
Oh, you got it. So they trained the mice to associate certain sounds with rewards. They'd hear a sound that would alert them to perform a specific task that would then result in receiving a reward, like a treat. And all of them were actively trained to do this, but some of them were given passive exposure to the sounds. In other words, the sounds were played while they were just going about their business and totally without being required to perform the task.
So it's like they all took a Spanish class, but some of them got to have those Spanish soap operas on in the background while they went about their day.
Yep. So it turns out that the mice that heard the sounds in the background passively learned how to get the reward more quickly than those who only received the active training. And it didn't matter when or how the passive exposure to the sounds happened.
So the mice just sort of absorbed the sounds?
To understand what was actually going on, the researchers trained different artificial neural networks on a version of the mice's learning task.
Can't have a study these days without a neural network.
I know, right? So the model suggested that passive exposure basically sets up the brain to learn by creating a foundational representation of the material.
So the material is just kind of there in the brain waiting for connections to happen.
That's a great way to put it. It's like inputting material into a system, and then the active lessons draw all the connections you need to become proficient.
I would guess that this is especially helpful for things like language learning.
And for people trying to learn a new instrument.
Some of the best musicians I know have music on in the background all day long.
Well, according to the study, they are helping themselves learn without even knowing it.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
About 20-odd years ago, a newcomer arrived on the African savanna in Kenya. It's known as the big-headed ant. And because of that little ant, lions have started eating buffalo instead of their favorite meal, zebras.
Okay, wait a second. How does an ant get to dictate what a lion eats?
This is an amazing story, and it's an example of an ecological cascade that can start either at the top of the food chain or at the bottom. But when one thing changes, the ripple effects can be enormous.
It's a little bit like the butterfly effect, and it's the old idea that a butterfly can flap its wings and cause a hurricane 1,000 miles away.
Yeah, it's been observed all over the place. In fact, when they reintroduced the wolf to Yellowstone National Park, they noticed that the river eventually changed course. The wolf's presence led to a decrease in large grazers like elk, which led to less riverbank erosion, which led to more stable and free-flowing water, which led to an increased number of beavers, which led to...
beaver dams.
And thus the wolf changed the way the river flowed.
Okay, so how does this ant change the lion's dinner?
All right, stick with me. So the big-headed ant showed up and quickly made enemies with the acacia ant. The acacia ant just doesn't have the weaponry to fend off attacks, and so the big-headed ant is able to kill them off. Now, the acacia ant has a mutualistic relationship with the whistling thorn tree, which, trust me, if you are an elephant, the whistling thorn tree is just delicious. They love to shred it up and eat it.
Whistling thorn tree. That's fantastic. So how do the tree and the ant interact?
Well, when an elephant comes along to chomp on the whistling thorn tree, the acacia ants crawl up its trunk and attack them. But without the acacia ant offering that protection, the tree is unguarded, and the elephant is able to gobble them up, and they just end up tearing them all down.
So the big-headed ant kills acacia ants, which lets the elephant kill the whistling thorn tree. Got it.
With the tree being gone, the landscape has changed, and the lions have fewer places to hide and wait for prey. Specifically, they can't hide from zebras, which are their favorite meal.
Wow. So they can't get to the zebras, so they have to rely on the buffalo.
Yep. The researchers were able to track the lions in areas where the big-headed ants had already arrived and in places where they hadn't. And they found that where the tree cover had been decimated, up to 40% of the lion's kills consisted of buffalo. Keep in mind that in areas untouched by the big-headed ants, buffalo was simply not on the menu.
This seems like it would have implications for all kinds of ecosystems.
It absolutely does. We hear all the time about species that are on the brink of extinction, and in isolation that might seem sad, but otherwise unimportant. But this study and others show that there is no such thing as an isolated species. The cascading effects of even tiny changes in our ecosystems can be more enormous than anyone could ever imagine. Let's recap what we learned today to wrap up. Researchers have developed a groundbreaking mRNA therapy that restores the cancer-suppressing function of the P53 protein in ovarian cancer cells, potentially revolutionizing treatment for this aggressive cancer.
Researchers have discovered that blending passive listening with active practice may turbocharge the way humans master new languages and musical skills.
An invasion of big-headed ants in the African savanna disrupted a crucial ant-tree mutualism, leading elephants to destroy thorn trees and forcing lions to switch from hunting zebras to more dangerous buffalo, showcasing the profound cascading effects of small ecological changes on top predators.
Curiosity Daily is produced by Wheelhouse DNA for Discovery.
You can follow our show wherever you get your podcasts, and we would love it if you could take a second to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.